Everything else seems to be changing up, but God's unchanging hand.
Yes, sir.
I come to you this afternoon giving all honor and praise to Almighty God, who's the head of my life, me and mine. Recognizing my pulpit associates, Reverend Matt Millen, Minister Riley, beautiful wife, and my lovely church family. It's an honor, a privilege, and it's always an awesome responsibility to stand before you and profess the word of God. Let us go to God in prayer. Take charge, Lord. Speak a word. God, you know what those who gathered here need, and you know those who have call me, Lord, and you know what they need as well. We ask right now, Lord, for you just to come in and give us a shareable word, Lord God, that we may be able to take the word from here and carry it somewhere and carry it to that one who's out there that need to hear from you.
Yes, sir.
Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, to this congregation. Speak, Lord, the words of wisdom, those words that we need to hear individually, Lord. Take charge, Lord. We're counting on you.
Yes, Father.
Until you come, we know not what to do, Lord. But we submit ourselves to you. Obediently, Lord, we come to you submitting and asking for you to take charge right now in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes, sir, God.
Lead, God, and direct us this day and in the incoming week, Lord God. Have your way in our lives. We submit to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This morning, this afternoon, we'll actually be going to what I had entitled our news, the second part of Perspectives on Hope. But I thought after the colon would be one thing, but God has changed that, and that's fine because it's a much better word than what I had.
Thank you.
Always will be. So I ask if you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts. You heard the scripture that was read from Romans, and we'll go back to that. We'll use that as a somewhat of a basis for what we'll be talking about this morning. It is sometimes called by many the handbook of the Christian. But Romans chapter 15 was read this morning, but Acts chapter 3 is what I want to read from now. Amen. Starting with verse 1, familiar scripture. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones receive strength. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So this afternoon we'll be talking about Perspectives on Hope, part 2. what I thought we was going to talk about at first after the colon was, I was going to bring back Jesse Jackson and keep hope alive. But instead, we want to use the Christian thing to do. So it's Perspectives on Hope, Part 2 with a colon, and then the Christian thing to do. You know, when I look around and I'm sitting at home watching too much CNN, but you look around and you see what's going on in the world and all of the current events. And everybody has a plan. What we need to do and how we need to do it. But it seems that the faster that the world progresses, it seems like we are going in a regressive manner. It's like a world losing hope. The more technological advances we make, the closer it seems that we get to destroying ourselves. Just come up with all kinds of crazy things. And the faster technology goes, I remember old saying, somebody said that it seems like the faster I go, the behinder I get. And that's what it seems a lot of times in this world that we live in. But although we see this, we who call ourselves Christians, I'm not just talking about any kind of Christians, I'm talking about true Christians, disciples of Christ. We're in this world, but we are called not to be a part of this world. We're called to be a carrier of hope. We're supposed to carry this hope to a seemingly lost world. The scripture that was read this morning, and I had it read because it speaks to us. It says, we then that are strong, and as we Christians, we ought to be strong. If we're not, then we need to check who it is we are trusting in, because when we are not strong and not able to carry on, then there's something wrong with us. So we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. That's what King James Version says. It. New Living Translation says that we who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive. But both make it very plain to say that we must not just please ourselves. I'm gonna take my time this morning. But Romans goes on and says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. And here's the key verse as it prepares us. It says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. You see where I'm going? You see, when the world starts losing hope, and you can look around, I don't think there's anyone here that can't look around and see just some situations that just look like they're hopeless. If they don't look like they're hopeless, the people from the inside of that situation is seeing it as being hopeless. But we as Christians ought to be able to carry hope. We ought to have a little light on us. We ought to be able to walk into darkness and cause light to appear.
All right.
If you're not hearing what I'm saying, then you need to check yourself. Last week, I quoted something out of a book. The book is called Being Good, Christian Virtues for Everyday Life. And in that book, the author said, if you got hope, you ought to have two things about you that should show all of the time. Mm-hmm. Number one, you ought to be content.
Content?
That's a disposition of peace with my circumstances. In other words, it really doesn't matter what I'm going through or where I am or how much money I got or where I stay. If I am where I ought to be, if I've got hope, then I am content.
All right, then.
With where God has me. We supported that with Philippians 4 and 11 and 12. It said, not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have.
Thank you.
I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with my stomach full or my stomach empty. I can have much or I can have little, but I am content if I have hope.
Yes.
And the second thing he said, you ought to have courage. And courage is the quality of mind or spirit that enables me to face difficulty, danger, and pain without fear. And I seen that when that word kept cropping up. I told her, my God, that word just kept cropping
yes,
up. And I
yes.
didn't even realize it was going to come again.
Uh-huh.
But pain without fear. I've heard three times this morning that someone going through pain, the first time it was described to me is that the pain was so bad, worst pain I've had in months. And then I got a phone call that somebody said they were upset, mad with God because they were in so much pain.
Mm, mm, mm.
But see, if you got yourself rightly related with God, where you supposed to be, you're supposed to be able to bear pain without fear.
Yes.
It says wherever I am and whatever I'm going through,
hallelujah,
God's got me if I'm rightly related. And that's easier to say than it is
yes.
to do.
Yes.
But
yes.
if you are, as Gerald brings up quite often, that you need to prepare yourself for what you might run into.
That's
because
right.
if you run into it before you prepare
Come
yourself. Courage, pain without fear. Indeed, you step out to face it, whatever the world has, bring it on, because I got a God who can handle whatever you throw my way.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Philippians 4:13 says, I can do
all things
through Christ, which strengthens me. And we established last week that it's a matter of perspective. Whose eyes do I see the world through? If I keep looking at the world through my own eyes, I'm going to keep getting hurt. I'm going to keep going through pain. I'm going to keep going through confusion. I'm going to keep getting in situations that I don't know how to get myself out of because I'm looking at the world through my eyes. But it's not about me.
Ah.
You see, when we start looking through the eyes of God, then we can start seeing that God is just using me, and if I just stay rightly related and let God use me like a tool and let God move me like he wishes, and then I won't have to worry about what this world brings my way. It's a matter of perspective. We just need to keep doing the Christian thing. You ever heard anybody tell you that? They said, you ought to do the Christian thing. Just whatever you're going through, just do the Christian thing. Whatever situation you're in, just ask yourself, what would a true Christian do? You see, this world allows, you see people going through depression, emotional result of hopelessness. We established that last week. I get depressed when I depend on me. You ever thought about that? See, when you get depressed, it's when you run to the end of you and you don't know what else to do. Then you get depressed. And then we talked about peace. Peace is the emotional result of faith. I can find peace when I trust and lean and depend on Jesus. See, no matter what I go through, if I can just get through. When I was talking this morning to the person I was talking to, and I tell them to just press through. I said, that's spiritual warfare that you're dealing with now. I said, the devil wants you to turn your back on God right here in the midst when you need him the most. Don't let Satan talk you into turning your back on God. It's a spiritual battle that we're in. He's trying to get you distracted because he know if I can get you to take your eye off of God, then you have no strength. You have no power. You are at his mercy.
It's glory.
You see, if we can just lean, depend on Jesus.
Yes.
And then we talked about joy. Joy is the emotional result of hope. See, when you got hope, you can find joy. See, I find hope when I look to Jesus. So when we are in this dark and dreary world going through stuff, I often hear Reverend MacMillan say, we need just a little more Jesus.
And
see, the world needs just a little more Jesus, but the world will not see any more Jesus unless they get him from us.
All right.
You see, you really don't have a situation when you walk into a dark and dreary room where there is no hope and all you do is go in and join in the hopelessness.
Yes. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. It's a matter of perspective. Yeah. Things are not always as bad as they seem. They're not always what they seem. Well, last weekend, and I'm going to move on. Last week we talked about the cross. And the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are headed for destruction, those who have no hope. But we are who are being saved know it is the very power of God. So we ought to have hope.
Yes.
This morning in Sunday school, the part of the lesson that tells us that we need to return to the spirit of those early believers.
Yes.
Who wouldn't be stopped in proclaiming Christ no matter what they faced. They knew that their hope was built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. See, if we could carry that message into a world when we are faced with whatever situations we're in, and I bet you all of you can go around. You don't have to go far to find the situation that calls for some godly input. And if we could just carry Christ with us into those situations, and some light. Hallelujah. See, when we find ourselves living in a world that's losing hope, and we're called to carry hope to this world, you need to beef yourself up, because you can't carry what you don't have.
That's right. That's right. Can't do it.
So the question is, as a true Christian, as a disciple of Christ, what do you expect from God? Yeah, think about it. What do you expect from God? Do you expect just enough from God to keep you going? The scripture told us we don't need to just think about us.
All right, now. It's not about us.
Let's see. But too many times we, child, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Mm-hmm. If the Lord would just give me some grace. And so too many times, the only thing we expect from God is that he will keep us going.
Come on now. Come on, talk.
Too many of us certainly don't have enough expectations to benefit anybody else. Just enough for myself, child. So, what are you expecting from God? Are you expecting little things from God, or are you expecting something substantial from God? You know, it's easy to tell other people what they ought to do and what they ought to expect from God. But when you get yourself in a tight, when you get yourself in a situation that you can't see your way out of intellectually, can you believe, do you expect God can do it? It's if you don't expect anything from God, you expect little, you'll get little. The world even teaches it that way. On your jobs, they tell you to manage your expectations.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Right.
That's right.
Manage your expectations, then. In the world of teachers, because see, if you, it goes like this, says, if you keep your expectations low, if you don't hit high, then you're not disappointed. If you do hit high, then you can rejoice. But if you keep your expectations low, but what does the Bible say about expectations?
All right.
See, the Bible says that expectations can be high or low, reasonable or unreasonable, good or bad. The Bible speaks of expectations of redemption. That's a sure hope. The Bible speaks of expectations of judgment. That's a sure hope. The Bible speaks of delayed expectations. Over in Proverbs, it speaks of delayed expectations. It says that hope deferred make the heart sick. The Bible speaks of unrealized expectations. Over Proverbs 11:7, it said the wicked man dies and his expectations shall perish. So he will have delayed and he'll have realized, unrealized expectations. But you see, expectations are beliefs that spring from a person's thought process. When you examine whatever the world has given you. So many times expectations come from what we're used to. Our family growing up or our own personality. So we don't expect much because we never had much. So you're always confrontational because you grew up being confrontational. You came from a family that was constantly bickering and fussing and fighting, and you don't even know how to interpret when someone speaks to you in a calm voice. Because you take that calm voice to mean that you really must not care because you're supposed to fuss at me if you.
Hallelujah.
Expectations, what do we expect? And see, when we base our expectation on human assumptions, we get in trouble.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm going to hurry to the end of this, because I'm excited. You see, when we as true Christians find out where we're supposed to be, and when we start carrying hope where there is hopelessness, when we start considering the question that where does the world find hope when they're not even sure of what hope is? Perhaps as a true Christian, we need to carry hope where there has never been hope before.
All right.
Go with me now to the scripture. We're going to go through it. We're going to be done. But when Peter and John, it was in Acts 3. It says Peter and John went together into the temple. It's important that we know when they went in. They went in at the hour of prayer. I heard Gerald say that this morning, and I said, he's been in my notes now. He's learning from Reverend MacMillan. But the hour of prayer. See, sometimes we need to go back to our secret closets and pray, because we're not strong enough to be the kind of Christian that we need to be. So we need to go back to our prayer closet sometime and fortify ourselves.
That's right. Yes. That's right.
Yes.
The hour of prayer. And the second verse is, and a certain man.
A certain man.
This man's condition is important that we understand. He was lame from his mother's womb.
Lame.
You know anybody like that in your life? That children, perhaps, that have been crippled from day one.
All right.
They were born into hopelessness. They were born where they don't expect anything. all they expect from the world is chaos.
Yes.
All they expect from the world is a back to be turned because they have not seen anything else. See?
All right.
They were born into it. This man lame from his mother's womb. He was carried, and they would lay him at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And he would lay there, and he would ask alms of them that entered into the temple.
Yes.
So when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, he said to the man, look on us.
Look on us.
Y'all Christians out there.
All right.
I want you to hear what Peter is saying. He said, look on us. He said, I don't know what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but I do know what I've got. And
yes.
If I don't have anything else, I've got some hope because I serve a God that's got all power in his hand. So if you're looking for something, look on us.
Yes. Yes.
Can you say that? Can you go into a dark situation and call the attention to yourself because you know that you have something to offer?
Yes.
Look on us.
Look on us.
For hope. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something. Yeah, been in a situation when somebody is talking to you because they don't know where else to go. They are talking to you and they are expecting you to say something. They are expecting you to do something. They are expecting something from you. So Peter said, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, I give thee. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. But I want you to see something about Peter, though. Peter just didn't tell him to rise up and walk. Peter didn't go in running off with just a mouth service.
Come on now.
That's right.
The scripture says, and he took him by his right hand, and he lifted him up. See, we know where the power came from. We know that God was the power to get him up, but Peter used what he had as a human. He reached down and he helped him. He lifted him up. He just did the Christian thing. That's all Peter did was the Christian thing. He saw his Christian duty and he did it.
Yes, he did.
You know the stories. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received
strength. Yes, sir.
What can you do? A solution to keeping hope alive. In other words, the Christian thing to do is answer the question, what are you expecting God to do for you?
All right.
Are you going through a tough situation where you've come to the conclusion that this one is out of God's hands?
All right.
No, I ain't the only one that's been there. You feel like I love the Lord, but I'm gonna be just satisfied with what he's done because this one, I don't see how it can be resolved. Low expectations. Like we serve a God that don't have all power in his hand. We expect little thing. I know that the Lord can supply my need. I know that the Lord has given me a decent job. I know that the Lord has given me shelter. I know those things, but when I get these situations, when I've got a problem within my family and I don't know how to fix it, do I just leave it alone?
Come on, man.
I'm talking about true Christians, disciples of Christ.
Yes, yes.
God has a good plan for you if you would just dare to believe Him and to trust God that He's able to do all things, no matter what the problem is. If you can accept God, expect from Him, then you can pass on hope to others. So can you believe that God can do those things that seem impossible? All you have to do to experience what God wants you to have is learn to think like God does. Change your perspective. Look at life through the eyes of God. I'm going to give you two quick things, and I'm going to be done. Two steps to affecting change in the world by changing me. Uh-huh. Two steps affecting change in the world by changing me. The two things we need to change is in our thinking. We need to change our thinking about who we think God really is. Let me give you two quick scriptures. See, Philippians 4:6 and 19 says, be careful for nothing. That means don't worry about nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And 19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Stop worrying. If you change your mindset about who God really is, that's challenging, man. Who do you really think God is? We talk about it, and as Christians, we can go and talk to everybody else, but who do you really think God is? What do you think God can do? And if you really do, stop worrying.
Yes, hallelujah.
And truly count on the Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Then Ephesians tell us that, Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
Come on now.
Huh? Who do you really think God is? What do you really think God can do? And then expect the seemingly impossible.
Expect.
Mark 11:23 says, for verily I say unto you, that whatsoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. I want you to take this literal. I want you to hear it literally. Say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Who do you really think God is? What do you really think God can do? And then the second thing, we need to change our thinking about how we see ourselves. See, too many times we expect too much from us. we need to see ourselves as a reflection of God.
A reflection.
John 15:5 says, I am the vine. Mm-hmm. Ye are the branches. Mm-hmm. He that abideth in me and I in him, mm-hmm. the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. We think we can do stuff. We think we got it going on. Mm-hmm. But without God, you can do nothing.
Absolutely.
So we expect too much out of ourselves. Mm. And then we'll close with Philippians 4:13, which says, I can do
all things.
So if I can learn to really trust in God and understand who do I really believe God is, and start understanding that God can do anything, mm-hmm. and start realizing that I can do nothing. We got that mixed up. We straighten that out. Some of these issues that we're dealing with, we could get to the end of it right now. We keep fighting with the same thing over and over and over again. We just don't understand why the world don't see things like we do.
Yeah.
I got this thing all figured out. Why can't they see it my way? But when we start realizing that it's all about God and not about us, then as true Christians, mm-hmm. we can carry hope to a world that's losing hope. Mm-hmm. It's just the Christian thing to do.
That's just
the Christian thing to do. So if you do nothing else, leave it with that thought on your mind. Whatever situations you get in, just think, what would be the Christian thing to do here? What would be a Christian thing to do?